You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Back by popular demand. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is your Friday edition of the Sports Hangover. Plenty to get into for this weekend. We'll talk, of course, Jay Hargrave, about the Saints, LSU, the weekend in the top 25, the NFL as well. Get you all ready for that. Check in with Vegas. Rafael Esparza will join us live as he's literally walking in right now at 1:30. Lee Sterling at 2:30 with his picks as well, so we got you covered there. At some point today, hopefully we will hear from ESPN.com's Mike Triplett. Sean Payton's supposed to speak at 1:15, so finding out if he can join us before or after Coach talks. As a matter of fact, he says he's good now. So Joey, go ahead, welcome us to Friday, and while that takes place, go ahead and get Mr. Triplett on.
It's Friday.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
Pepito!
Well said.
And also Jay Hargrave with you.
That was well said. I can't say it any better.
That really was, wasn't it?
That was.
Okay, I understand that as well. Marlon Favorite also in the house. We'll be speaking with him here next segment. Get his take on LSU. Jay, we got plenty to get into. We're going to speak with Mike Triplett here in a second. Earlier this week during the show, we've been talking a lot about the Saints and their lack of success on defense. Where does it come from? Look, I went back and looked 2011 to 2015. 8 of 31 draft picks are still with the team. 17 of the last 21 have been defensive guys. Stephon Anthony, the latest high draft pick on the defensive side of the football that is gone. Well, Mike Triplett did what we were talking about and did me one better as he went out there and wrote something very interesting and really took a look at this defense, asked Sean Payton about it, asked some former Saints about it, too, as to what gives. I mean, think about it, right? Half dozen coordinators. You have players upon players being brought in. Why can't this team still stop anybody? They enter this week, folks, dead last in the NFL on defense. Mike Triplett of ESPN.com joins us here for a brief minute before Sean Payton speaks at Mike Triplett on Twitter. Why don't you tell the folks what you found out when you wrote this piece?
Well, thanks for having me on, Gus. Yeah, no. It's a lot of things, obviously, for it to get this epically bad. But the main thing is that all these things play into no continuity. I added this up and then went to ESPN Stats Info to ask how rare it was. And they've used 55 defensive starters since the start of 2014. And they've used 23 defensive backs, making at least two starts. Both of those are the most in the NFL. And then when I talked to Scott Chandler and Jabari Greer, said the same exact thing. You got to know the other 11 guys, you know, the other 10 guys you're lining up with. You got to be able to anticipate. They pointed to specific plays where they could just tell they were out of sync, disjointed, didn't know on a shift what someone was going to do. And
right,
that leads to those wide open gaps in coverage. And so how do you end up using 55 different starters?
Wow.
Well, there's injuries, of course. Delvin Bro, Nick Fairley, Keenan Lewis over the years. There's misses in free agency. There's misses in the draft. And you got to keep changing them out until you find the right ones, and they've been missing.
You talked about 55 different starters and usage there, and you know the other thing too is I was bringing up the last several days. You have so many different coordinators as well. They
yep.
may want certain players. They may want it to their philosophies that one blitzes, one attacks, one zone, one's man. It's kind of hard to build. It goes to your continuity thing. What you know, it's easy to say, well, they fail in this draft. Well, maybe Stephon Anthony was good for a certain coordinator, but not the one that's currently in, things of that nature. That plays a part into it too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Although, you know, one of Rob Ryan's criticisms was that sort of that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis tried to dictate to him what kind of players he had to make work. You know, he, in retrospect, claimed he didn't like the, you know, the bringing in Jarris Byrd and drafting Stanley G. Baptiste and trying to mimic the Seahawks. So it's a little of everything and yeah, trying to find the philosophy. But, you know, obviously a position that's been very important to them has been that middle linebacker, quarterback of the defense. They've felt that's really important. And they cannot find a guy that they like there. They got rid of Curtis Lofton, got rid of Stephon Anthony, got rid of James Laurinaitis, replaced Craig Robertson. Now they've got A.J. Klein, who seems to be good in that role, but he's the fifth one in less than 4 years. So, yeah, part of it is you understand all these moves because the other guys aren't getting it done. But when it's a new one every year, you understand why there's also no continuity.
And that's unbelievable when you switch that many middle linebackers, that many defensive coordinators, that many personnel in there as well. I mean, these are very real reasons why they're like that. Mike, there's also real reasons why they're 7-9, and now again, 0-2 going into Carolina. Craig Robertson, we played a soundbite from earlier this week in the locker room saying, look, this is an important game. This is a big game. I don't know. Is it a must win? I mean, this team, it cannot go to Carolina and lose, right?
I'll say they have to win one of the next two for sure. I mean, they can't go into that bye week 0-4. It'll just take so much wind out of their sails. And furthermore, when they come back and play Detroit and Green Bay, I would say they have to figure out a way to survive and go 2-2 over the next four. I don't think they're going to win at Carolina, but, you know, way back in April when I was more optimistic about this team, before the Fairley news, before the Bro news, before the Ron Armstead news, I picked them to go 0-3 and finish 9-7 because the schedule does lighten up later.
Okay.
But these three games are so hard. It's hard to call any of them a must-win at Minnesota versus New England at Carolina. They're, you know, five-point underdogs in all those games. But you got to find a way to, you know, winning this would be huge. Otherwise, Miami is a must-win.
Very good point. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. At Mike Triplett is the way to follow. Mike, thanks for joining us. Go see what Coach has to say as team will be ready to go. Thank you, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Is that remarkable? I mean, look, we talked about this on the show on Wednesday, and I know you were going back and forth texting me here as well, and I looked at that five-period window, right, 2011 to 2015, 8 of 31 draft picks, all the, you know, one, Rafael Bush, of every free agent signing between 2011 and 2015. These are very real reasons, not only why they haven't been winning, but why they absolutely should be heat on everybody on Airline Drive.
Look, there should be a lot of heat on everybody on Airline Drive just by watching that game last night, the San Francisco and the Rams.
Man, I was
because
thinking.
Jared Goff, for all intents and purposes last year, was looked at as a circus clown.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, he lit the boards up. Okay, and what's the difference? Sean McVay, new coach.
Todd Gurley, six touchdowns in
same
the first
thing.
Two games.
Nobody wanted Todd Gurley in fantasy football.
My point, though, is they got a running game going. It can still work in the NFL.
So don't tell me coaching doesn't play a part
absolutely
in the NFL.
Kyle
and
Shanahan got the 49ers. They're 0-3.
That was my next point.
They're 0-3, but they've not looked horrible.
And who's their quarterback? Brian Hoyer.
Who was about to become the legend. He's already the legend of Lake Erie. He would have been the legend by the Bay as well if he would have brought them back. But no, look, it's to your point. You can't have a Hall of Fame quarterback and be playing this poorly. I don't want to hear it's just
that's
the defense's
exactly
fault.
We've
because
got Drew Brees.
The offense is not consistent right now. It doesn't look well.
And it hasn't been consistent
in
years.
Let me tell you something. This Peterson thing, I don't know how it's – I don't think it's ever going to work. I wouldn't be shocked if he's – I don't – it just doesn't make sense as to right now what the Saints are and who they are right now.
Let's look at that move. You go out and sign a big free agent right. In Adrian Peterson. Draft rolls around. You draft Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
You traded Brandon Cooks. You're a passing team. What did you do to upgrade your wide receiving core? You two times
you
upgraded your running back core.
And where have you struggled the first two games?
In the passing game.
Yeah.
You know, and look, to Mike Triplett's point, okay, we've had 55 different starters.
I mean, think about that.
But
for
think
a
about this. We traded Hakeem Hicks. Yeah. What did the Bears do? Lock him up because he's so valuable to a long-term contract.
Rob
talked about Ninkovich. Talked about trading Delvin Bro. Mm-hmm. Talking about trading Kenny Vaccaro.
Right.
So, in addition to 55 new starters, you're starting three rookies, which maybe not the best idea
right. If
you're trying to win. And now you're talking about trading some of the veterans that you have. Every time something goes wrong.
I don't know if you heard yesterday the show when we played Stephon Anthony's bite. First off, he sounded, right, like he'd won the lottery. And but what was interesting is first, obviously he was surprised by the trade. And being surprised by the trade is not surprising by that. Now, did he have any idea that he was actually being shopped?
Oh, man, of course, no clue. No clue, man. And like I said, I'm happy to be here. it's an exciting opportunity, man. Got a chance to win, and I'm looking forward to it.
Wow, that's interesting. So he's got a chance to win. That's so he doesn't,
shot
he doesn't
there.
Think that. Well, here's the other one that's interesting to me. So what have we been told by the Saints as to why he hasn't been able to play? Or we didn't see him in preseason. We didn't see him the first 2 weeks he's been injured, right? He was
supposedly
asked if he was healthy.
I'm healthy. Healthy, man. It was a long process. High ankle sprains were a little tricky, man. But like I said, I'm thankful I'm over it and feel good and ready to go.
Here's the interesting one, though. He's asked, what can he bring to the Dolphins?
Man, honestly, I think I'm a guy that can play all three. You know, I feel like get the opportunity to get a chance to play and show my skills, and we'll see what I got.
When he says all three, he's referring to all three linebacking positions.
That's scary.
Well, first off, it's direct contrast to what we're being told by the Saints. He can't play any of them. That's why he got traded.
And look, that
and again,
that
I don't know
what you said.
We don't
He's
know.
Ecstatic about
We're
being traded.
We're going to see in 2 weeks. He's going to play against the Saints.
Yes, we'll and
see.
I'm sure they're going to use him in a primary role.
Look, it's just, and the only reason I bring this up and I brought Mike on and Mike wrote about this too is we had a little fun earlier in the week. Look, I get it. There's faithful. I get it. There's fans that feel, hey, the first two games were tough and all that. I said, if you want to go that route, I'll take that route with you. But I'm going to ride shotgun and say, all right, well then you know where they are then. Because if you're telling me, well, one's the defending champs and one's a playoff team, well, then the Saints are nowhere near that. So if you're going to go with, well, they're just better than us right now. They're supposed to win. Okay. Well, then you're also admitting and accepting the fact the Saints are not a playoff team right now.
So,
you know? And then secondly, if that's the case where they are, then the season starts this week. You're literally facing an offense in Carolina. And I'm going to put my preview up here later on today, but this is part of my preview. They're 25th ranked in offense, averaging 271 yards per game. They're 18th in rushing at 96 yards per game, 24th in passing, 174.5. Their defense, you ready? Ranked number one in the NFL, giving up just 196.5 yards per game. They're allowing just 60 yards on the ground. That's good for sixth best. And just 136.5 in the air, good for second best in the NFL. This is going to be a battle.
Yes.
The last three games, by the way, decided by 3 points. The last three games against these two teams, between these two teams. What I'm getting at is this. If Sunday Carolina's offense suddenly comes alive, then what are you going to tell me then? If you're a fan that has hope and faith, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you going to tell me? I mean, I that's fine. You have hope and faith. I'm just saying, where's that hope and faith coming from? Is it coming from a coaching staff and administration that's proven and shown you what?
I mean, look, I can buy they're a better team than us against New England. I can't buy that against Minnesota.
Sam Bradford, by the way, is not playing again. That's
Minnesota's
how hurt he's
been. Offensive line was putrid in preseason.
That was the first game those five guys started together.
Yes. Their offense is not good. They lit us up and did. Now, look, let me rephrase that. They didn't light us up. They lit us up on third down. Because this defense really isn't bad on first and second down. They're holding teams to third and six, third and ten. Whoever is doing the third down game planning needs to be fired. Because
there it is.
They are
14 minutes into our Friday. There is the first fire this guy.
Well, there's a lot more to come.
Wow.
When Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings, right, minus Adrian Peterson, are 9 of 14 on third down, you got a problem on your defense. Okay? I don't care. Well, look, go back to preseason. We saw our linebackers getting into the backfield and setting up shop inside the holes on the other side of the ball.
Right.
Our defensive line was pushing the offensive line back. That's not happening anymore. The only way I can explain that is to say that Dennis Allen must have been scheming in preseason while the other teams were playing pretty vanilla.
Well, the Saints brought in Kendall Langford, a veteran, to try to help the defensive line, the defensive push. Sean Payton on the state of the D-line.
Well, I think week by week you have a goal and a plan in place. First with Darrell, he's familiar with what we do. He gives you some strength, his experience. We felt the latter part of his training camp was as good as he played here in a while. And then inside, you know, we've got experience with the nose. You know, he started a number of games with Indianapolis, and he too, I think, you know, if we're going to see a little bit more of a running game, we're prepared for it.
We'll have a lot more from the Saints and from Carolina here as well. We're just getting started. An hour and 45 minutes left. It's Gus Kattengill, Jay Hargrave, Pepito over to my right. And in front of him is Marlon Favorite, who, I mean, you didn't even – are you even supposed to eat the lettuce from the shrimp rommel? I think it's just garnish. I know there is nothing left on that plate, Jay. He can't eat
you
it?
You can eat it.
But is it garnish?
It's not. It's kind of a garnish.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're supposed to eat the shrimp and the topping. He ate everything.
Dad, we love to see empty plates.
Well, he is a defensive tackle. There you go. What? Sorry, Pepito. I unplugged you so I could actually hear Jay a little bit louder. Go ahead. Say that again.
Why did you cut me off?
Because I needed to hear Jay louder. What'd you say?
You're a joke.
Yep.
You know that garnish is a vegetable. It is.
No, he got us leafy greens. That's what he did. Got the leafy greens for sure.
We'll talk to Marlon about
LSU and the week that is coming now. What is the issue with Arius Geis? I'm still trying to understand what Coach said yesterday. Is it just me? I don't know. I'll ask you. You're on the LSU broadcast. Tell me. I don't know what it means. And would you play him or not? Let's talk about that next. The Sports Hangover live at Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Marlon Favorite joins us. He is on the LSU radio broadcast team. You can hear him tomorrow. I don't know, when do y'all start, like 5 a.m.? I mean, it's like 9 hours of LSU.
It's long. It's pretty long. Tomorrow we
play
for what?
Pre-game.
It's a pre-pre.
No, look, point is, you guys take on Syracuse. I just saw two Syracuse fans walking in
at the bar.
So, look, I want to get into this, Marlon, as we get to LSU here and Syracuse. Tigers 2-1, 0-1 in the SEC. Syracuse 2-1 themselves. Last game for them, the 16th. Took on Central Michigan 41-17. Let's focus on the Tigers briefly here. The big story to me this week, two things. It's the radio show from Coach O, because during the radio show on Wednesday, he reveals that the Tigers didn't have a good week of practice, but he had told everybody they did have a good week of practice. And he said, well, look, I'm not going to tell the media and everybody else that, if they didn't have a good week. I agree with him. I mean, you can't come out and go, well, Coach, how was, practice last Thursday, right? How was practice all week? Terrible. I mean, you can't say that. So I understand that. But, Marlon, my question to you is, how can the team have a bad week of practice leading into their first conference game? Is that concerning?
It is a bit concerning. And, really, if you look at the Mississippi State game, Mississippi State, and we spoke about this on Monday, Gus, they're a great team. I think they're the second-best team in the SEC.
Then how were they not ranked?
Because they didn't know. I mean, they weren't ranked because that was Mississippi State come-out game.
Okay.
Against LSU to let people know that, hey, we're the real deal. Mississippi State's the real deal. I tried to analyze the game the best way I could. I tried to look at what went wrong, what could have changed. And I know we spoke about a lot of this on Monday. But the bottom line is Coach Dan Mullen did an amazing job at executing their game plan this past weekend.
One of the things, Marlon, as well, that I found interesting, he said on the Wednesday show, was that Darius Geis would be out on Monday when he had, his lunch with O. He said that he had a minor injury because he didn't see him a lot in the second half against State. Minor injury, wasn't going to practice that day, but he thought he could be fine by the end of the week. Wednesday ruled him out earlier in the morning. He said he didn't practice. Wednesday ruled him out completely. Then all of a sudden yesterday, he can. And, I read it earlier to Pepito because I was trying to make sense of it. And, again, I'm not trying to make a story that doesn't exist. But it took me back to Florida last year. And you were there for the postgame show, and you heard the calls and the tweets, and there was undisciplinedness and all that. And, Leonard Fournette's not supposed to play last year against Florida. He gets in a shoving match with an assistant. He all of a sudden says, Coach, I want to play. To go get back at whatever. It doesn't help him because he's hurt, and it hurt him. This is what he said yesterday, some Ross Dellinger's tweets. He said, Coach said, got some good news today. Yesterday, he wasn't able to play. Came to us today, said, Coach, I'm feeling better. I want to practice. He practiced pretty good today. He's going to get some snaps. He will play. He came to me, and he talked to the head trainer, Jack Mariucci. I feel better. I want to practice. Jack said, okay, let's let him. He practiced pretty good today. Jack said he's ready to go. He's going to let him play in a limited role. That's great news for us. Guys want to play. Guys that are hurt, questionable, come out, want to play. There's a mixture of emotion there, you know, the rah-rah guy that says, hey, that's great that you want to go out there and put it on the line and all that. And then there's also, well, who's making the call and determination that he can play? Is it the player? Is it the trainer? And then if you're just going to use him in a limited role because he's not healthy, then why are you playing him? I don't know. Explain what I just said.
Well, the trainer. The trainer is the one that makes the ultimate decision. Well, the coach makes the ultimate decision, but the trainer says, okay, coach, he's good to go.
Okay.
If the coach, any head coach, any sensible head coach would say, okay, if he passes our medical, then he can roll. But I, like I told you guys during break, I think the biggest battle is between Geis and Geis. They don't, for Syracuse and Troy, they don't really need Darius Geis.
Okay.
That's another thing, too. We're not a team. LSU isn't a team where we need Geis like that. As you saw, Darryl Williams, West Banker, hello. Mm-hmm. Darryl Williams was the shining light for us last week against Mississippi State. So we have running backs galore. The kid from from Catholic, and of course you have Brissett. So they have enough talent at the running back position for the next two games.
You know, one of the things that you talk about, the 10-yard runs, the 14th of his career, by the way, fourth of the season for Darryl Williams. And anything, Jay, I thought it'd be a good game to try to jumpstart that passing game, yep, kind of force LSU to see what that offense can be without him, because when they start playing SEC teams, the first thing they're going to do is try to take away Darius Geis, so it wouldn't be a bad thing. What do you think of this? Would you play Darius?
Absolutely not. I mean, you've got Darryl Williams, you got Brissett, you talked about Clyde.
I always mess
his name up, too.
What an H. Clyde. Yeah.
Clyde, you know who we're talking about. You got enough running backs. I mean, my concern about LSU has nothing to do with Geis. He's going to be okay. Maybe not this week, but down the road he's going to be okay. My concern was the lack of discipline and the stupidity from this team. Look, I'm one of Ed Orgeron's biggest supporters, but that's unacceptable. When you, Marlon, you know, as a defensive lineman, if you're going out there on that field and we've got one injury at my position, another guy's hurt, then you know I've got to keep myself in this game. No matter what happens, I've got to be in this game. Then you have two guys get thrown out the game for targeting, one defensive lineman, after you lose another defensive lineman during the game, and a linebacker, two crucial pieces of your defense, tied around his hands. I've got nothing. I can't sub out. I cannot do anything with it. I've got to put my 11 guys out there and hope for the best. Your offense isn't playing complimentary football. This was a disaster waiting to happen. To your point about Mississippi State, why weren't they ranked? I remember hearing stories when I was in college about a writer putting his All-American team out. He only had four offensive linemen. So he picked up the phone, and this is in the Nebraska heyday, called the Nebraska SID. Who's your starting left tackle? Gave him the name. That's who his preseason All-American guy was. That's sometimes how serious these people take these preseason polls, and that's why you get that. But my question to you, Marlon, is I thought we were going to see more from Ed Orgeron. I thought we were going to see a much more disciplined team, particularly after you started the season on discipline. It's not getting any better. Have you seen anything?
Did you see his face? It's
He's
red.
Serious.
Yeah. It's red right now. By the way, Clyde Edwards, how do you say his last name?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There you go.
He's got his own pronunciation.
Their website has a pronunciation.
He's got a guy that does it for him.
That's pretty cool.
That's all.
So we're not the only ones screwing
it up.
There's
a job for you. You can make pronunciation for rosters.
Give me that again.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yeah.
How do you say his name?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There you go.
Helaire. We got it now.
Close.
There's no H. It's silent. Go ahead. Respond to what he has.
Well, yeah, to answer your question, a lot of folks are expecting a lot of out of Coach Ed Orgeron. He's 2-1 right now. He lost to, in my opinion, the second-best team in the SEC. Going down the road here, okay, we have Syracuse, then we have Troy. Then we go through what's called a bit of a gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's not as tough as a gauntlet as people think it is. I was just kind of, before I came over here, I wanted to, like, look at the predictions and the matchups. We have a clear fighting chance against Tennessee. We have a clear fighting chance against Florida. These teams aren't that much better than us. The only teams that are really better than LSU at this point, the only other team on their roster, on the upcoming schedule, is Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is kind of what the discussion I was having last night on Game Time. with John Forcade and myself, and people call me a Tulane pumper and him and an Ole Miss alum.
Tulane cool, baby.
Okay, so, well, here's what I'm talking about. How do you know how good LSU is? You understand what I'm saying?
Like, right.
What I'm saying is I think people are assuming they're better than all these. We don't know is what I've been trying to say to your point of trying to fire the AD, fire Ogeron, fire everybody. At-large sports, remember we talked about this. You were on the show
right.
When they released the top 130 coaches. Jay, we talked about it. They had Mullen number two behind Saban, had Ogeron second from the bottom. I said, well, I understand that. He hadn't had a full season as a head coach yet at LSU. Mullen, they got out-coached. They were a better team, better program that day. It's the first conference game from that staff, Marlon, not just for the offensive coordinator, but other members of the staff too. And what I'm lost is I had both y'all on SEC Media Days, and I said, what would be a good season? And it was 8 or 9 wins. It wasn't 11-1. So no one was saying 11-1. No one was saying national championship this year. Am I lying, Marlon?
No one was saying that.
So why is everyone ready to fire everybody after one game? Yeah, you have your hand up. Why?
I have it.
Yeah.
What phase of the game did LSU play well? They dropped passes. They committed penalties.
Right?
They threw bad passes.
And I went over all of the draft picks they lost on defense last year, right?
I get that. But, Gus, all things that the coach is responsible for.
Okay, but the snaps those players got were against Chattanooga and BYU. They didn't cross the 50, Marlon. You and I talked about this on Monday. It's one thing to say, hey, you know, you have talent. I don't want to hear about the 4 or 5 stars. You need snaps. You might have been highly rated. You might have not been highly rated. And by the way, those stars are given to by people that go to high school games and against competition that I don't know how much you can use because in this state, teams that win no games go to the playoffs.
Correct.
So I'm saying my way to tell if a team is good or not is a couple games in and see how to handle things. And snaps, you have a young football team that – doesn't have a lot of snaps under their belt at these key positions. Safety, corner, linebacker, D-line, all those guys had a key player last year that were drafted in the NFL. Yet I think UJ and other fans expect them to be NFL ready every year. I think that's hard to do is all I'm saying.
Well, it's an old proverb that says the repetition of learning, father is the repetition of learning. You know, so the more you do something, repetition is the father of learning. That's the correct way to say it. The more you do something, the better you get at it. You have to do the reps. You have to get it to Gus's point. But, again, third game, the first two games, okay, we could say those teams had 15% chance of winning.
I can't say they're a better team than everybody. They played two teams that, come on, it's
exactly.
Not the same.
Same thing with Alabama with the exception of Florida State. So the other two games that the Alabama played, so we have to see the rest of the season. What we saw out of LSU in those first two games wasn't a fluke in the talent that they have. But these young guys had to go through this. They had to go through Mississippi State. That defensive line didn't want that offensive line to have nothing. Danny Allen couldn't breathe. The balls were coming out late. You know, we can argue the play call, and I think that we should have probably did a few more screens, kind of get those big boys rolling. But the coach went in with his game plan. It didn't work. Those DBs had all the underneath routes covered. So, I'm sorry, we looked at every angle of the game, and it just was what it was. Mississippi State came to play at home.
I don't think any LSU fan would have been upset if LSU had gone toe-to-toe with them, blow for blow, and lost a tough game.
Okay.
That game, basically, LSU got bloodied in the first round, and it wasn't close after that. And that's what's upsetting for everybody. It was the stupidity of you just saw one of your teammates get thrown out the game for targeting, and you go do the same thing. That's unacceptable. Your coach needs to have you more prepared.
I don't disagree with you on that. But what I'm saying is what are the expectation levels of them?
Of this team?
Yeah.
Of being 9-3, but we also expect you to be competitive.
Yeah, they can still be 9-3.
Yes, but we also expect you to be competitive in those three losses.
Okay, but what I'm trying to get at is, do you understand like how I was just baffled how by Monday people wanted to pressure wash the athletic department.
I don't want to do that. Okay, I don't want to fire Ed Orgeron. I don't want to fire Joe Oliva.
You got to give them a year.
Absolutely.
I mean, more than,
year.
More than that.
You got to at least give them a year. People wanted to fire him the first conference game. I'm like, come on, man.
That's the people who didn't want Ed from the word go.
That's what I'm getting.
But, Gus, it is concerning when you see your team play that bad.
Marlon, you got the game tomorrow. What is your key and how do you see this shaping up tomorrow, LSU and Syracuse?
Well, I think this is for this is a chance for LSU to go out there and give their young guys more reps. Forget about last week. They need a win right now. So just go out there and focus on beating Syracuse so that erases. Sorry to the Syracuse fans over there. Go Syracuse. I'm with you, baby.
We're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to them later.
But that's going to be the first step for LSU just to recover these next 2 weeks and get ready for that gauntlet, baby. So I'm looking forward to it. We start tomorrow about 4 o'clock. Man, thank you guys for tuning in, man.
Absolutely.
I'm loving it, brother.
Nah, we heard you in Norman, Oklahoma. We're driving up to That's Oklahoma cool. City to the airport after the game, and there's Marlon in a post game. And look, I thought you did a fair job. You broke it down because you were in purple and gold. You're like, dude, you lost it in the trenches. You know, they were getting blown off the line, and you gave us details. And, man, I'm proud of you, dude. You did a good job.
Man, thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely. Now go enjoy that monstrous burger of yours.
Delicious.
It has some greasy leaves. Greasy leaves.
I have a little salad right here, too.
Man,
just,
you know, just salad.
The salad
what are you
helps
shaking your
salad.
Head for, Pepito?
You don't need a salad.
It's ridiculous. What are you giving me, Greg?
Say that again?
Nothing. Time for a break. Imagine that. We're
I'm
out of time.
I'm going to cut this from the podcast.
No, we're out
later.
Of time. Out of time for this segment. When we come back, Rafael Esparza, he is here. Vegas in the house. How have the odds changed for LSU and the Saints after their first 3 weeks for LSU, and he just gave me a thumbs down for the Saints after 2 weeks? We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
No, not with a hand like that. Come on. Dare me. Go on. Bluff me. Come on.
How much should I bet?
If it were me, I'd bet everything. But that's me. I'm an aggressive gambler. Mr. Vegas.
There he is. Mr. Vegas's intro. Rafael Esparza joining us live at 132 Royal Street here in the quarter at Old Saint each and every Friday. Gus Cattingale, Jay Hardgrave. It's good to see, Rafael, that his colors, natural milky, you know, pasty colors returning to his face. It was a little red there, talking about LSU, just a little red.
I saw that. I missed last week. Yeah. When you weren't here, I was in Vegas, and I actually did the show. I took a picture. Yep. I did the show at MGM yep. Sportsbook before I saw two guys in their underwear seeing how much they weighed.
There it is.
It's always fun.
The fight there. I got to ask you, let's start there because there was a huge controversy. And I want to remember the week before. No. It was that day that you came on here because I was at the airport. But I was listening to the show, and I want to say you specifically said one of the judges knows the De La Hoya guy and all that. And if that happens, you called the draw.
Yep.
You called it.
Yep, I cashed a 25-1 ticket on the draw as well, so that was good for me. But
he called the draw. Vegas
you know
knows.
What?
Vegas.
They know everything.
I'm not shocked at the outcome just because after the 10th round, someone that actually works for the guy that you have a shirt on, ESPN, turned around to the all media guys and said, hey, if Canelo wins 11-12, I'll see you guys in May. So when the fight ended, everyone in the media said it was a draw. So Stephen A. Smith was right. Everyone in the media said, yes, it's a draw, no doubt about it. And so we were more shocked at the score of 118-110.
That's
not the
one,
outcome
right.
itself.
That's the one judge that everyone's talking about.
It was a heavy-based Canelo fan base there, huge. It was like East L.A. was empty. I was the tallest guy on the strip. So we knew if you were Triple G, you had to bloody him. You need to finish the rounds 10-11-12 with either a staggered and 10-8 round, something to get the judges to give you the belt. What he did, he jabbed. He won the fight. My card said they gave us all a card, and when we're in press row, we'll score the card. I had 116-112 Triple G. I had him. Everyone else around me had pretty much Triple G, but we all knew it was going to be a draw because if it went to the judges, I put on my scorecard 10-11-12 that Canelo won, but I put times two because you figure the judges were going to have to give it to the home crowd to make it a little
when
bit
when you
satisfied.
Have something like that, Jay, I'll ask you too because you're a big fan of boxing. Is that good for boxing when you have something like this or bad for boxing? I hear both sides. People say, hey, it's good because people are talking about the sport. People are bringing it up. I think it's bad because there it is. That's what makes it bad about boxing. I don't know. Both of y'all's opinions on it.
I'm used to it, and now I would think UFC's starting to see a lot of it now of bad judging when it goes to the card. So now it's kind of like, oh, boxing's like, woohoo, another sport that's doing bad judging. Now we're going to see a rematch, so it's kind of good and bad. I mean, we're really not talking about it now a week afterwards saying, oh, it's a horrible a horrible outcome and stuff like that. I think she'll never judge on probably another main event unless that De La Hoya name is underneath the promotion code. But I think it's bad, but it's good because at least we get to see a rematch, which I wanted to see.
I think it's bad because even though the rematch happens, you're getting to hardcore fans, and I think that's what's gotten boxing in the dilemma that it's in, is the Don King syndrome of fixed fights. People knew they were fixed, and the average fan left. Same thing that's happening to the NFL. You're losing a lot of the average fans. You're not losing the hardcore fans. Hardcore boxing fans are still there. But when you start seeing questionable decisions, I think that's what's gotten boxing, because of people like Don King fixing fights. That's where you start losing people.
I could guarantee you that since I called the draw, someone is getting KO'd in the second match, because both of them had said at the press conference, I wasn't at the Canelo because he took so long and I was tired and I was hungry.
Right.
But Triple G said, I'm going to have to fight totally different. He even said in his press conference, the reason why I fought cautious, because every time I tried to go to his body, he hit me with that uppercut and it hurt. So I think the second round, someone's being knocked out because they don't want to go to the cards. They don't want the judges to make this. Someone's being KO'd.
A big announcement in the boxing world, too, with the retirement this week.
Yeah, we heard rumblings over the weekend that Andre Ward was thinking about it. And he said after his last fight that it was harder for him to train. Not that he didn't like the sport. It was just harder to mentally prepare. And I tell people, for UFC, for wrestlers, boxing, it's hard to make weight. I mean, you go out with your boys, and they're drinking beer, eating chicken wings, eating a big burger, and not sharing.
He is having a salad, too. That's his fourth
and then,
plate now,
and then
by
he's,
the way.
And then you're just sitting there drinking water or drinking, eating bread. So I'm not shocked at that, and he's going out pound for pound a champ, and he's got a nice lucrative deal with HBO calling fights. So.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Rafael Esparza joining us here live at 132 Royal Street. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow on Twitter, and, of course, from MyBookie.com.
Yeah, I mean, we still have that 100% sign-up bonus. That means if you put in an additional $200, we're going to throw in $200. Great weekend. Not only do you have football, but you got UFC in Japan tonight. Wow. You got boxing on ESPN tonight and on HBO. So not only does your football and to watch maybe the Saints go down 0-3.
Stop it. We're going to get to that later. Don't start now.
I got no comebacks.
Look, I just wanted to see him turn red.
I got no comebacks for you.
He turned red with LSU, so let's sort of start there. How much does Vegas react, overreact on a game? In other words, you see LSU in that performance. Do you adjust how you view them from here on out, or do you just attribute it to, hey, it's one game?
Well, we were doing high fives after that game last week because we could not beg for Mississippi State money. That number went from 8 to 9. They were just jumping on LSU like
really?
Old LSU. And when that game out, I was watching some of that game on my computer when I was watching the undercard fights, and I was actually laughing at how bad they looked. You said it, the dumb penalties after dumb penalties. I'm not saying fire the coach, but there might be some changes on something, because if they keep on playing what I saw against Mississippi, and they really got outplayed by Chattanooga right from the get-go in the first quarter. They were being outgained. And Chattanooga,
so as a handicapper,
they were actually moving the ball.
You're changing how you feel.
Yes, I told you that I was going to bet them under the total season wins. I'm not sold on them, and I think I can't believe that the Big Ten right now is better than the SEC. And I think this weekend we're going to have to judge if Georgia can win against Mississippi State, Florida, Kentucky. There's some big games. We could have some big upsets.
Yesterday on game night, 4K and myself, we do it a dirty dozen. We pick 6 NCAA, 6 NFL teams. I took Syracuse to points. I think 21's a lot.
I think LSU, if they're going to want to erase that game, they're going to have to blow Syracuse out. And I would not be shocked if this is an ugly game for Syracuse. I'm going to make it 43-10.
Really?
Game.
So you think the points are good?
Yeah, I think LSU has to come out strong. If not, boy, the Boo Bird's going to be singing.
Listen, I think Mississippi State is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. I think they're one of the better teams in the country. If Mississippi State played Alabama this week, what would you put the line at, just off the top
Where's
of your
that?
Head?
Is that Alabama or at Mississippi?
I'm not sure.
If they did.
I'm not sure where the game would be played this year. Alabama's at Vandy right now,
and it's an 18.5
point. If Mississippi State goes to Alabama, Alabama probably a clear 14-point favorite.
Really?
Yes, just because the money will come in. If it's at Mississippi State, probably a 10.
Wow.
Well,
if
Vandy.
You figure if LSU was a 7, 7.5 open up at Mississippi State, you got to give 3-4 extra points to Alabama, who pretty much rules the SEC right now.
Well, Vandy is an 18-point underdog, as they're hosting Alabama. Probably one of the biggest games there. 18.5 now is what it is. I'm trying to look at some of these other games in the top 25 that are of note. TCU, Oklahoma State, a lot of people talking about the Cowboys there. 13.5-point favorites. How for real you think this team is, and how much can this game go into how you feel about them?
Oklahoma State right now is probably our biggest headaches right now because everyone's just betting them in the over because they're going to throw up 40-plus. They're going to air it out, and we are begging for under money, and we are begging for TCU money right now. I think they're for real because I think they can spread the ball around, and in the second half, the team's defenses are just gas because they're just being run. They move the ball quick. Everyone's falling on fake injuries just to try to get a break. I think Oklahoma State, if they can continue to play like this, we might see them in one of the last four teams.
All right, let's go to the NFL. Some games that I want to quickly touch on. Atlanta and Detroit.
This one's – I like the plus home dog on this one. Atlanta should be 1-1. They should have lost to the Bears. Dropped touchdown pass.
The Bears blow that
one. In 30 seconds left in the game. And Detroit, I don't know what's going on. They finally have a running game, an established running game.
Or is it how bad the Giants are? That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I like how they played Arizona. Arizona, for some odd reason, we're going to the playoffs, maybe a Super Bowl contending team. Last time I checked, they still have Carson Palmer back there. So I like the way they beat up on Arizona, not the way they beat up on the Giants. I like the home dog on this one. Granted, they're coming off a short week, but so was Denver. And look what Denver did to the the Cowboys.
This is another one where I'm just kind of like, it's begging to take, but I don't know. 14 points is a lot in the NFL. Texans at the Patriots.
If it's an offensive shootout, New England's going to win by 28 or more. If J.J. Watt and boys can keep Tom Brady handled, then it's going to be a close one that I think Houston can cover. It's at New England. Are New England really going to play back-to-back poorly games? I think New England knows that Houston's not going to score 40-plus points like Kansas City did in their backyard. I say stay away from that game because I can see a big blowout victory.
All right, Saints-Panthers, Carolina 5.5-point favorite here. Judging on the first two games that you've seen from New Orleans, has that adjusted how y'all in Vegas see this team?
Not for me, because I've been telling you guys 7-9, and they all been laughing at me, including you two. And now they're asking me, wow, what would you think different? This game, I kind of like New England plus the points. Last two meetings last year, 3-point victory for both home teams covered by one by 3 points or less. Or no, 3 points equal.
Right, 3 points. Yeah.
I actually thought Carolina was only going to come up to be a 3 to maybe a 4-point favorite.
5.5 is a lot for a team that can't score right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. I think Carolina's going to win by a field goal.
Oh.
But I'm looking at your schedule, and this could be ugly. We may see a Saints win the day after my birthday, and I might be sleeping because I might be just hungover.
That's right. When is your birthday?
The 21st, when they play the Bears.
Oh,
not
October?
The Bears. I'm sorry.
You're talking October?
I'm sorry, the 29th. Because you figure they have to go to Miami, or Miami comes here. Detroit looks for real. Green Bay.
Miami's London.
Miami's London.
Yeah, Miami's London.
Oh, I'm sorry. Miami's London. They need this victory because I think the Boo
Birds. That's what I'm thinking. Jay?
The Boo Birds.
I just want to formally apologize for doubting you earlier in the season because I did. And you were right, because I do believe the season's over. I really do.
It's sad to say it. I have to lean that way, too. Tampa Bay looks very impressive after their one game.
They're at Minnesota, 2.5-point favorite. No Sam Bradford.
No Sam Bradford. So there's
San Francisco and Los Angeles look better than we do.
Oh, stop it.
The Rams, I was really impressed yesterday on how the Rams played. Finally, we had a good Thursday. I was getting ready to start clearing my DVR and stuff that I've been DVR'd since the summer, and then everyone texts me, hey, this is a high-scoring game. I turned it on. What the heck?
It was a good game.
It's going to be a long – like they say in Game of Thrones, winter is coming.
Oh, no.
Losing is coming.
Stop it. Okay, one more. Sunday night, Raiders-Redskins. Oakland, a 3-point favorite.
It's this Oakland offense. This is fun. They're fun to watch. It's like watching Golden State Warriors play football.
I'm telling you, if Carr doesn't get injured last year, I think they give New England
a game. I like
game.
Washington's defense, and Washington already said they're going to blitz and blitz and blitz like there's no blitzing. I tend to lean towards Washington, but I can't fade. I can't go against Oakland because their defense is a little bit better than last year, which is it was horrible last year.
Yes,
that offense, I can't see Washington going toe-to-toe against the Raider offense.
Are the Raiders creeping up closer to the Patriots in the AFC?
Yes, because some of the Patriots look old. Brady looks like he's 40. Gronk looks like my body is breaking down.
Well, they didn't look that bad against the Saints, did they?
I don't want him. No comments.
No comment.
I'm going to try to get lunch here.
How can folks use my booking and have a little fun?
Go to mybookie.ag. Like I said, 100% sign-up bonus. Put 200. You can get additional 200 to put it on. The Saints money line. Let's do that. Saints money line. We'll double your money.
All right.
Wow.
At VSI Doc Sports. Way to follow Rafael.
I just want to come back.
On Twitter as well. We will see you next Friday right here. Quick break. We come back. Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans. Jay Hardgrave, Marlon Favorite, put a hurting on your kitchen. We got a burger. We got a salad. What else do we have back there that folks can enjoy? The healthy variety as well.
Healthy variety. We've got some salads. We've got a Cobb salad with you can get with chicken. We've got a chicken Caesar salad.
Go ahead.
You got it?
Yep.
And then if you want some sandwiches, we've got a pressed pork sandwich. We've got oyster po' boy, shrimp po' boy. We've got all your sandwiches covered. And then if you want to go to, if you want to go to like a more of a dinner, we've got a pork chop, a prime pork chop. We've got a southern fish, which is fried catfish over white beans and shrimp. So we've got you covered on all bases.
Easy enough. I think one of the things that you see, what we were talking about with Rafael here as well, going into this game against Syracuse and LSU, we'll focus on the Saints all next hour too, is I what I was trying to say to you is I think you got to wait and see. What is their identity? I think everyone keeps thinking what their identity is or assuming what their identity is, right? I mean, it's the third game with the new offensive coordinator, and I think it takes time, you know? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's unrealistic to think that going into that game, you knew exactly where they were going to be. They're going to be this high-spreading offense and all this other stuff. Now, I will say this. A lot of people were expecting the offense to not look like Les Miles' offense, and I think that's understandable and reasonable. But, again, if Darius Geis is injured and he's not 100% and your offense is sort of based around him, then it takes some adjustment, right? I mean, take away a key player for the Saints or anybody, and it's going to be an issue.
My gut feeling after that game was that the coaching staff at LSU was a little bit too cocky, that they thought we can go out there and beat Mississippi State, not show our entire game plan. And I don't think they had plan B lined up. I think it was, we're going to kind of give them a page of Les Miles. We'll still be able to get out there with our playbook intact. Nick Saban hasn't seen it. When that wasn't happening, they weren't able to make the adjustments fast enough. And I agree with you. This team, after week three, having one loss, it's not a bad thing. But it was the way they lost, which is concerning the LSU fans. Danny Etling looks a lot better than he did last year. He looks like a lot more confident of a quarterback than he ever did under Les Miles. But, you know, when you've got receivers committing holding penalties, the pick play, that was questionable. I think they could have let that go. But you've got, you know, drop passes, DJ Chark getting hit in the face mask. You've got to be ready. And it would just seem like LSU wasn't ready to play. They didn't have a good game plan, and they got out-coached and they got out-played.
Look, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting going into this game here as well is, and Rafael kind of joked about it too, the Boo Birds. And that's why I was kind of saying I'm a bit surprised by just the reaction of it. You know, I mean, look, I get they looked ugly. You walked into a den there. I mean, look, you know, all that team keeps hearing every day is, you know, every time you play LSU, you can't beat them there. You lose, you lose, you lose, you lose, you lose. And you have a staff and you have a coach and you have a team that has an identity, knows who they are. I think they're still trying to figure that out, who that is. You know, this isn't Miles, who's been there for 10-plus years. And you know what I'm getting at?
Right.
It's just different. And I say this all the time to people, haven't been on the sideline. How coaches react during a game when they get stressed, when moments get big, when the you-know-what tightens. You have to know that. Chattanooga and BYU didn't have Canada or anybody sweat.
Right.
You understand what I'm getting at? And now you're on a road. Things aren't going well. The adjustments are going. The cowbells are going everywhere. Your kids that are they're doing things, they're going, what are you doing? You know, I mean, what? Where's the discipline? What I'm saying is, I think, like Marlon said, that's a learning game. I don't think you're going to see that team play as badly and poorly as they do. They do have talent, but I say lack of snaps, lack of time, task on hand with the coaching staff and those players in that position, killed them.
If it, you hit the nail on the head, this is a young team. You see what the margin of error is. If the touchdown doesn't get called back, if you don't make some of those mistakes, you're probably in the game.
Right.
That's how little. That's how small the margin of error is for LSU.
Well, speaking
you got to be on
the
your
margin
game.
For error being small, that is. For your New Orleans Saints as well. When we get back, we'll hear from quarterback Drew Brees, his message to fans, other players on a defensive end like Tyler Davidson, what he thinks of Carolina as well, in hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.